Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the Quantum Fiber Studio,
this is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
All right, we opened the show by talking about what kind of bothered us and rubbed us the wrong way, Bump, about Jerry DePoto's press conference. You felt like maybe he was being a little arrogant. I agreed, like he was kind of brushing aside fan concern. And I think that ultimately caused for yet another press conference of his to be interpreted mostly negatively. And I think that that's kind of fair. I also think that there is a lot of really important and good information that he gave in this press conference that as a result kind of got pushed to the wayside. So let's go ahead and get to some of that. These are some quotes that stood out to us, and that includes us figuring out what it kind of says about the Mariners or says about their offseason. First, Jerry DePoto admitting they did miss on a couple targets, and then he explains how the Polanco signing happened.
And that came on the heels of falling short on a free agent or two, you know, not really liking where the trade market was taking us. And then here in recent weeks, you know, we have had a dialogue really throughout the offseason with Jorge Polanco, and we were satisfied with where he was from a health perspective. We were excited that he was optimistic about how he felt and about returning to the Mariners. You know, is he now knows our ballpark. He's familiar with our clubhouse. He knows our manager and staff. And, you know, I thought it was a real positive that he chose to be here. So that's how we chose to fill these holes. We're still open if the opportunity to add exists out there. But we feel like it's a good team. And if this is our team going into spring training or opening day, we're pretty excited by it.
Bump, a little bit of honesty, admitting that they did miss on a couple targets, didn't like a lot of the trades that they were seeing as potential, and then mentions, hey, we were in contact with Polanco throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's important. I know people don't want to hear that, but when an athlete is banged up throughout the season, it's going to affect his performance, right? That knee was jacking him up, that hamstring as well. All your power is generated from the ground up when it comes to throwing, swinging that bat. I mean, it is what it is. So as not attractive as it sounds, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Polanco is going to be healthier this year does do something for me when it comes to expectations. As far as him reaching out to people and having these conversations and them not being attracted to the trade proposals or whatnot, the conversations, that means that people are going for arms. And we know that that's their biggest asset. When you are a team like the Mariners, you need a bat, you are struggling a bit, people are going to go for your biggest asset, which are the arms. He's got to be factoring in what that ballpark does to help his arms and to hurt teams that seem to show up and play there. That makes sense. Everything he said right there, it makes complete sense. I have nothing bad to say about that.
It sounds like part of the reason they didn't love a lot of trade proposals that they were hearing is because a lot of them involved one of their starters.
We had inquiries on all five of our starting pitchers and dozens of prospects along the way. But obviously, we opted not to go that route. We had more than a few deals that made you scratch your head and say, hey, what do you think, guys? But by and large, we just feel like the value of what our pitching staff as a whole provides us. You know, there's a reason why we're so good pitching at home. And there's because the guys attack the strike zone. They're really good at what they do. They buy into our programs. And I think the key to what I said earlier, we're a good home team. You know, we're one of the best home teams in the American League. And, you know, why disrupt that?
What did you make of, in hindsight, the team's decision to say we're not trading a single starter? We had interest in all five, but we're not budging there.
How do you expect to get better? Like, how do you expect? You are banking on your prospects in a few years, I guess, showing up and saving the day. Who knows what your arms are going to be like at that time, how healthy they're going to be. I understand his want and need to keep the band together, but how do you expect to get better? No free agents are knocking on the Mariners' door and saying, let me go hit in that ballpark, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it fits my game. perfectly. That's not how this is going to happen. So I think that they're taking the scenic route. They're taking their time. They're not hopping on the interstate and taking that straight shot down to Cali. They are taking the long way. I've done that, Stacey. The long way is beautiful sometimes. You get
scenic.
Go through the redwood forest. You get to see the ocean and all that good stuff. But then there's some point where you get to Cali and you're like, we got to get there now. We got to get there faster. It's been fun while it lasted, kids. But now we're going to go inland a bit and take that straight shot. And I think that's where they are as an organization. It's time to take that straight shot. Would I want to give up a prime arm? No, mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I understand that. I feel that. But if you're not getting calls from agents talking about their clients wanting to come over here, if you're not able to trade any prospects, which prospects hold, they don't hold the weight that they used to back in the day. What are your other options? Your other options are to re-sign Polanco, to bank on another year with a Rosarena, and say, okay, these guys are going to play better than what they did last year because we'll be together for the duration of the season. That's a lot to bank on, mm-hmm. and I hope it works out.
I kind of like what Ryan Divish has said about this too, Bump, and that's that, like, when we just isolate it to this offseason, it's easy to go, oh, well, you know, I think that there is a good chunk of people that are probably happy with their decision not to trade any starters. And mm-hmm. they go, oh, I really like these guys. You're a pitcher-friendly park. Maybe lean into that, whatever. The way Ryan has explained it is to not just isolate it to this offseason, because the Mariners are in this problem in this situation in part because of a number of other moves they've made in the previous several off seasons. So I find it useful when kind of analyzing Jerry Dipoto and analyzing where they are right now to keep those past off seasons in mind. Like, they could have chosen to add to this roster previously. They didn't need to wait until this off season to add an infielder. You know what I mean? They could have upgraded at first or at second or what have you with a more long-term player or with, you know what I mean, or made a bigger deal there in previous off seasons. And they've chosen not to. So they've kind of put themselves here. So while I look at Jerry and I go, yeah, you know, like, I'm not mad at your decision not to trade any of these starters. The reason you are in a situation where teams were, like, asking you for them pretty regularly is because they know that you're desperate elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's now your best weapon. Like, you could have upgraded elsewhere. You didn't have to give out little one-year deals or not make big moves in free agency. You could have done something sooner. Hindsight's 20/20. Maybe it sounds dumb for me to just say, like, shoulda, coulda, woulda.
No, I mean, you have to look at it. I mean, and I think you saying that is the approach that you wish that they would take, is that, all right, what didn't we do? What could we have done? How is that going to change our approach going forward? That's the problem. It feels like it hasn't changed their approach going
forward. Right. Like, okay, well, how are you going to sit in this and go, what have I learned?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We get a lot of questions about Matt Brash. Dipoto offered an update on him.
For Brash, our expectation, Matt's had a great rehab, you know, fingers crossed. He's down in Peoria already. He has really not had a roadblock to date. Our current expectation is that he's ready to go when we start rolling in spring training. And our present timeline is that we should get him back somewhere around the third week of April, which is pretty exciting. And obviously that's tentative. It could change. And obviously it wouldn't be at all shocking if he did experience some setback as he starts to ramp up into game mode. But we haven't seen that yet. And I think Matt's very encouraged with how he feels and the like.
Massive update there, though, at least. The hope that, you know, he's on time. We're pretty optimistic. Feels pretty good. I mean, missing him, limited outings for some other guys, were a very underrated part of your struggles last year.
Yeah, and I think, remember when Matt was healthy, there was like it was a survey or a video or something, and people talked about the nastiest movement and pitches, and a lot of people pointed to Matt Brash and his slider and the movement that he had on that. I think that's another thing that Jerry, now listen, don't take what I'm saying as I am supporting or giving excuses for Jerry. I'm just telling you what I think that he's thinking. The addition of Brash, Polanco being healthy, a full year with a Rosarena, he's thinking, actually, this is a better team than what we thought was out there. Us, you and I, most of the public, we're thinking that, all right, you're banking on them playing to such a high level that we don't think it's the right route to go. We don't think it's really reliable to bank on that.
Right.
So do something to support when they do have that dip, because it's inevitable. They're going to have those dips. It's trying to get into the mind. It's almost like we're sitting behind those windows with a mirror on the side, and we're watching a guy being interviewed, and you and I are sitting here trying to break down exactly what he means psychologically and how he's trying to move forward. And it's tough because he's not going to give us enough to really know, but what he does give us resembles everything that we've seen in the past. So I try to sit here and dissect what he's saying. And there are some people who text our show and say, oh, you guys pick apart everything that he's saying. Yeah, it's our job to pick it apart.
Who's saying that? Yeah. Right?
This is what we're supposed to do. Do you sit there and take everything your child says as 100%? Do you sit there and trust everybody 100% as soon as you meet them? No, you got to try to decipher what's real and what's not based off what you know, how they say it in the past.
Well, this is a team that's made the playoffs once in 23 years now. Like, why would you not analyze, okay, what is and isn't working? For the person that's complaining about that, do you want like analysts or hosts or reporters covering the team to just go, okay, sounds good? Or do you want them to go, what do I think they're saying by this? What do I think they're going to do? What moves do I think they might make? Every single person wants this team to make a World Series. Me, Jerry, my mom, you, every single person would like to see this team in a World Series. It's about analyzing and trying to piece together how we think they believe it'll happen.
Right.
Because we're not in charge of pulling the levers on this. So instead, you know, we're left to say, okay, I think Jerry DePoto's really counting on a big year from his best guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the criticism that comes with that is saying something like, you can never be wrong when you're talking about potential. And I think sometimes it allows people to avoid accountability for other things they were responsible for. Like Jerry DePoto is responsible for projecting what guys might do. He's also responsible for providing some insurance in case they don't. And that's where I think the Mariners have struggled, that latter part.
Mm-hmm.
Really good at building up a farm system, has been great at building up and developing arms, but they haven't provided a lot of insurance. It's spending. I don't know what it is.
Just finish the race. Just finish it.
Yeah.
You know, you got you 200-meter runners out there, right? That last 50 meters, man, you got a kick. There's no kick to this team right now. It's more just, I'm going to run my race, which is a good race to run at times, but at some point, now you got to hit the gas and go after it.
Exactly. Let's talk about the rest of the division. Last year, one of the big storylines we were talking about, particularly when the Mariners were 10 games up, is, wow, the AL West, where you have two World Series winners back-to-back, and then Houston, which has just been unstoppable, is one of those, is kind of weak. They're kind of down. There could be some opportunity here. Jerry DePoto talking about what it looks like right now.
You know, we feel like we're right in the mix. We just talked about the offense and what we think is likely to be the case or how that will play out for us. We look at our division. I think Oakland got better. There's no question they got better. The Angels very early in the offseason made a flurry of moves. And, you know, they've got some new faces. Houston's going to look different than they've looked in recent years, you know, at least as we sit here today. And, you know, the Rangers reconstructed a bullpen and changed some faces on the pitching staff in general. We feel like we're right in the mix. I think the early projection systems feel like we're right in the mix. We feel like we're right in the mix. And a real positive for us is the expected healthy returns of Gregory Santos and Matt Brash.
So we feel like we're right in the mix. Delicately hinting at Houston not being what they were, saying it professionally as he can, admitting that the A's have improved, that the Angels have tried to make some moves, but that ultimately it feels somewhat competitive. I actually agree with him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Oh, man, I almost forgot about this, and you just said it. 10-game lead.
Oh, I'd like to forget about it.
10-game lead, and they squandered that thing. It seems like everyone's been making more moves, though. Everyone's been making bigger moves, I feel like. It's not that nothing drastic or massive has happened in the AL West, right? Houston's obviously going to look different. He pointed that out. It's not like you're looking at this division and you're thinking, wow, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than the division. You've had a team that was able to compete in a division that was down and somehow found a way to trick daddy that thing off. I'm looking at the division and I'm saying, all right, we don't expect it to be the best in the game. So there's opportunity here. There's more opportunity. There's opportunity for you to get some pieces acquired and come into the season on paper looking like one of the better teams in the deal. And that's the frustrating part, is because there's a few games that you play, right? There's the offseason game. How do you win that? You acquire, you get your lineup together, you hope everyone is healthy, and then going into the season, you set expectations. Then there's the, all right, we're in this now, the first few months of the season. What do we look like? Are we getting off to a good start? And then there's the adjustments that are made, and you make the final push. It just feels like that first step, you're never ahead on that first step. You're always a half a step behind when it comes to offseason acquisitions, getting healthy, going into the season with realistic expectations. We're going into the season right now with expectations that guys are just going to play better, and it might go down that way. But I don't think fans have ever had the opportunity to go into a season with expectations on paper. This is just a good ball club. This is good. All right? We feel good about it. We can allow a slow start because we know that on paper, these guys are probably going to figure it
right out.
That's the way he's looking at it. I don't think that's the way that we're looking at it.
No, and I don't think we should. And I think it's fair for us to be critical of a slow start. In fact, the 253 says, I can just hear it now. We're going to be talking about the Mariners and saying it's early when they're not hitting. No, I think that it's early is this caveat that we just all add to things, because in baseball, you know that sometimes a team can get hot late. You know that slow starts can be a thing. You know that one game of 162 doesn't make or break a season. So there is this thing that is just automatic instinct that mm-hmm. you just add. You know, it's early, it's April, or it's May, but, and then you get into your criticism. I also think it is fair for a team that has missed the playoffs collectively by, what, 5 games over the last several seasons? Mm-hmm. You've been that close?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to complain about a May loss series. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
It is okay when you are counting on Julio playing like an MVP, that if he has a slow April, you can say, this is another slow start for Julio, and let's talk about how he needs to fix it. Like, I am okay pressing the gas a little bit earlier for the Mariners this season and doing away with the it's way too early analysis, because if there's one thing we've learned about this team over the past several seasons, it's that it's come down to a series for them.
Yep.
Who knows when that series was? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they finish out strong in September, but that series against the Nationals back in May, you should have had that. So, yeah, we're going to have those conversations. Don't you worry about it.
Yep.
Let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Patrick Mahomes said that they, quote, don't embrace being a villain, but we are going to keep winning. Do you think the Chiefs are villains?
I don't think they're villains. I wouldn't call them villains. I went back and I started looking at teams that were considered villains. You go back to 1977, the Raiders, right? Coached by John Madden. They had a guy on the team named Jack the Assassin Tatum. They had a guy named Skip Dr. Death Thomas. You don't have none of those characters on this football team. Then you go back to the 89-90 Pistons, man. They're famous for the Jordan rules. That's when they were just like, look, we're going to foul him as hard as we can when he gets into the paint. Then you go to the 91-92 Michigan Wolves. They were seen as villains because they were playing basketball the way people weren't used to seeing it. You got these kids out there with baggy pants and black shoes going on. It scared people, Stacey. It scared them. You got the Pagers. You got the Heat. I don't think people are looking at the Chiefs as villains. I think that it's almost jealousy and fatigue.
Yes. Yeah.
You see the calls that they get, and everyone gets calls at some point. It's not just the Chiefs, but they're winning. Pat Mahomes doesn't know what it's like to lose. When he does, he lost to the great Tom Brady. Like, there's just so much success that people are just jealous, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it comes from. So then everything else is amplified when you talk about the calls or whatnot. Villains, I wouldn't call them villains. There are nice guys on that team. Pat Mahomes is a good dude. Travis Kelce, nice guy. Andy Reid, you got to love him. Spags is a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. I wouldn't call them villains, though. But if I am the Chiefs, I'm going to keep that mentality in my head and say, okay, let's just go be the villain.
Second down. What does a win or a loss do to Patrick Mahomes' living legacy?
This is a tough one, because if he loses, he still has to jump Joe Montana. No one talks about Joe Montana mm-hmm. when it comes to, all right, the greats. You mentioned it in I think our Pro Bowl deal last week or the week before when it comes to our quiz. And no one talks about Joe Montana. Joe Montana has 4 Super Bowl rings. Pat Mahomes has 1. He has 2 more Pro Bowls, 2 more All-Pros. They're tied when it comes to Super Bowl and league MVPs. If he doesn't win this ball game, it's like you almost get reset a little bit and say, all right, we'll focus on Joe Montana. Let's not focus on Tom Brady. If we're talking about physical capabilities, it's Pat Mahomes all day. But when it comes to accolades and accomplishments, if he doesn't win this one, then we got to focus on Joe Montana and leave Tom Brady out the conversation for a little bit. If he wins this one, then we kind of push Joe to the side. Big ups, respect Joe Montana. Then you start zeroing in on Tom Brady. So I think that I was just getting ready for this game, watching film, looking at accolades. And Joe Montana keeps popping up. And we don't talk about him enough. So focus on Joe Montana. If he wins this one, then we can look at Tom Brady.
Third down. What team do you think would be a good landing spot for Cooper Kupp?
There are a few out there. I think that the Chargers could use his services. You got Ladd McConkey over there. That could be the realest white boy combat receiver we've ever seen.
Yo,
with
let's
Cooper
be honest.
Kupp, Ladd McConkey. McConkey had 1,100 and 2 touchdowns last year. He can go to Vegas. The thing about Vegas is you need a quarterback, right? What are you going to do with that quarterback position? You got Brock Bowers over there with 1,100 and 5 touchdowns. And really, the Commanders, too, man. McLaurin did this, and he is the number one receiver. You have a tight end over there that's pretty good. But if McLaurin went for 1,013 touchdowns with no real number two receiver, imagine what Cooper Kupp can do from over there. And then my last spot, I'm looking at Denver. You got a young quarterback. You got Sutton over there with 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Another receiver with around 600 yards. But he needs to be that complimentary piece, right? He's that guy or that piece of clothing, Stacey, when you look in the mirror, you're feeling the fit, and you just throw one more thing. Like, maybe it's a scarf. Maybe it's your bag. I don't know what it is. But he's that finishing piece to where you look at the receiving core in the pass game, and you feel like, man, this has took us 2 notches up. Those are my spots, man. The Chargers, you got Vegas, you got Washington, you got Denver. If I'm any of those teams, there are other teams that are going to be involved, but if I'm any of those teams, I'm looking at Cooper Kupp and talking about his services.
Love those landing spots for Cooper Kupp. Only slightly related in terms of, you know, star players on new teams. I saw someone propose yesterday that Myles Garrett to Washington would be like one of the most exciting things the Commanders could do. And I was immediately thinking like, yes.
That'd be awesome. I saw a trade proposal to DK and the 18th pick for Myles Garrett. I saw that on X, and I immediately scrolled right by it.
Yeah, because I don't even want to entertain it. I don't even want to think of it. I'm just so desperate to improve the offensive line and see it as such a core issue that it's like, imagine if, you know, Myles Garrett comes here, your defense improves, you guys are limiting people to, like, you know, 14 or fewer a game, and you can't win.
No.
You can't score.
Can't do it.
Fourth down. Yesterday, you highlighted Joe Tooney as a story that needs more attention, but there's someone else who does as well. Who is it?
Man, DeAndre Hopkins. I know he hasn't had like a great year with the Chiefs, but he's made some plays. He's 21st all-time when it comes to yards, but he's second amongst active players. 12 years in the NFL, says 7 seasons over 1,000 yards and 83 touchdowns. I saw a clip of him with his mom and his aunt. And almost forgot about DeAndre Hopkins and how great he was. There was a time where we thought he was the best receiver in the game. And I think it's cool for guys like him later on in their career to put themselves in a position to win and not worry about the ego and just make 3 or 4 catches a game and contribute to the group project. So I think Tony needs some love. He's going for his 5th ring. But what about an OG in DeAndre Hopkins who hasn't had the team success? He's been paired up with a decent quarterback in Deshaun Watson when he was balling. He went down to Arizona and was with Kyler Murray trying to figure it out. Dark times with Tennessee, but now he's with one of the best to do it, DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I'm hoping that the Philadelphia Eagles get it done. But if the Chiefs were to win this ball game, there's a three-peat that you can look at. There's Tooney getting 5 rings and DeAndre Hopkins getting his first one, well-deserved.
God, you're so right. I've kind of, shame on me, forgotten about DeAndre Hopkins, and he used to be the story. I mean, highest paid wide receiver, set a new bar. For a minute there, it was like Tyreek Hill's getting more than DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, my God, it finally happened. And then he just kind of became like a mercenary. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll hire him on and, you know, good for him, but wasn't seen as this huge threat. I hope he has a huge play.
I hope so.
Like, I hope he just monumental touchdown or yards after catch moment, something really cool to kind of remind us that even as an older player, he's still got it.
Yep.
All right. Coming up, Luke Arkins is joining us in about 30 minutes to go over a few Mariners stats from 2024. Jerry DePoto said the Mariners offense doesn't get the credit they deserve. Where should we be giving them more credit? Luke is going to join us at noon. Before we get to that, though, taking a look around the timeline, Kevin Garnett's warning the NBA Players Association that the Jimmy Butler situation in Miami might have some unintended consequences. That's next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Working hard is worth it if you're seeing results. And when it comes to working out, the same thing is true. You want the maximum benefit in the time you have, and that's exactly what Tonal is built for. And with their latest iteration, Tonal 2, you can ensure your workout is more tailored and effective than ever. Tonal's at-home strength training system uses adaptive weight to learn from your movement and set the optimal weight for every move, adjusting in 1-pound increments up to 250 pounds, challenging even the most advanced users to push their limits. You can also experience a full body burn with the new Aero HIIT workouts, the perfect blend of heart-pumping cardio and strength. Plus, the new built-in Smart View leverages a high-resolution camera that lets you see yourself during your workout, analyzes your movement, and provides real-time coaching, just like a personal trainer. Right now, Tonal is offering our listeners $200 off your Tonal purchase with promo code 200TONAL. That's Tonal.com, and use promo code 200TONAL for $200 off your purchase. That's Tonal.com. Promo code 200TONAL for $200 off.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacy,
brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It's The Timeline on Bump and Stacy, reading you the top stories you're going to see and hear about on your own timelines. We're going to get started with some college football. Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule says he doesn't want his team's spring game to be televised. Why? Because he doesn't want to showcase players ahead of the spring portal window.
You know, last year we were one of the more televised spring games, and I dealt with a lot of people offering our players a lot of opportunities after that. So to go out and bring in a bunch of new players and then showcase them for all the other schools to watch, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The word tampering doesn't exist anymore. It's just absolute free, open, common market, and so I don't necessarily want to open up to the outside world. I don't want these guys all being able to watch our guys and say, wow, he looks like a pretty good player. Let's go get him. But I don't know yet. You know, I don't know anything. I thought it was important that, you know, we at least started to broach that subject of it not being televised. Yet at the same time, I do want to show off our players in some way. So what exactly it'll be yet, I have not worried about anything other than recruiting right now, you know, both the portal and into the 26 class. So now I have to kind of turn my attention to all those things.
You blame him?
No, I don't blame him. You're saying, look, come get us. Come get my guys. This is what we have. The thing is, though, there are ways to still see that game and figure it out.
Yeah.
It's just you're making it harder for these schools to send their guys out there or to have to actually send them out there to watch the game and not just pull it up on TV and go grab them. And Nebraska isn't a place where, like Nebraska, you respect who they are, their tradition of one other football program. But I would assume it's easier to grab a guy from Nebraska than it is from Ohio State, yeah. Right? Just because of the resources or whatnot. But no, if I'm Matt Rhule, I'm doing the exact same thing. Why broadcast this stuff? Why put it out there for people to see your talent? Because they're just going to snatch them up because there are schools with more money and could seemingly provide an athlete with a better opportunity. Back in the day, I would have called this paranoid. Right now, I call this business as usual.
Let's head to Miami. Jimmy Butler is trying desperately to get traded. He badly wants to go to the Phoenix Suns. He's been suspended multiple times for, you know, not traveling with the team, not suiting up, not practicing, what have you, clearly trying to force the Heat's hand. Kevin Garnett is warning the NBA Players Association that the Jimmy Butler situation might have some unintended consequences down the line.
You open up for all this right here, bro. This is how non-guarantees are going to come into our league right here for like this. We fought our ass off through 5 and 6 lockouts to get to a point where there's no where we protect the integrity of the talent. And then that talent has a responsibility to be professional, come in here and do your job. You think I like Glenn Taylor? You think I like that?
No.
Nah. You think Paul like Witt at one point when they weren't seeing eye to eye? We came in, we did our jobs, you got paid, and you went home. You go home, soon as you get opportunity to change that, you change it. But bro, I ain't finna come in here, make a mockery, one, be a distraction to the other guys
right,
in here.
Right.
Because, bro, that's what you're doing.
Whew. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, he knows more about the CBA than I do, obviously, right? Kevin Garnett's been in the game since, what, the late 90s and understands the ins and outs and what can happen. I also understand that when it comes to guaranteed contracts, there are two sides to the story, right? You got to have the NBA side, the Players Association have their say, and then the owners. But it is bringing up a conversation because a guy like Jimmy Butler is kind of not making a mockery of it, but taking it for granted, it feels like. And there are so many people who aren't in a position that Jimmy Butler is in this league, still making good money, not making about $50 million a year. The guy making $2, $3, $4 million a year is trying to get his bag and trying to come up and do all this stuff and get that guarantee. So I take Kevin Garnett's words for what it is. He knows more about the situation than I do. He talks about the lockouts and the things that people fought for. It's just like history, man. You look at history and you see what your state, your people, your answers or whatever have fought for, and you want to respect it. You still want to move forward and try to get yours out of the situation, but you got to respect it. And it feels like Jimmy is being a bit selfish in the situation. But on the other side, Miami, you just can't not look at the organization itself and wonder what they've done in this whole situation when it comes to Jimmy.
How much responsibility do you think Miami bears in this case? Like, is it, you know, he's not getting the time he wants, not surrounding him with the talent he needs. Like, to what, if you were mediator between Jimmy Butler and the Heat, what would you tell the Heat?
I would tell the Heat that Jimmy is your best player on the team. You can look at Tyler Hero and say maybe he's the best player at this point. But Jimmy wants to be treated as the best player. And that's where it gets complicated because we all know, we talked about it yesterday, how NBA players just have the biggest egos and the most influence and can really jack a team up. It's relationship-based. It's him and Pat Riley going at it. It's just like the things that we have to assume when it comes to Luka and the Dallas Mavericks and what happened there.
Yeah.
We don't know the ins and outs. It's deeper than just basketball. It's the same thing with Jimmy and Pat Riley.
Speaking of Luka, did you see that Luka Doncic was asked at a press conference today whether he was approached or like turned down in any way a Supermax deal or made it seem as though he wouldn't be? I think that there were rumors circulating that like, oh, well, he wouldn't have even signed the Supermax, or that there was some other issues there. And he kind of shot all of that down at the press conference.
He's not going to tell us everything. He's not going to. I mean, listen, Luka's not with the Lakers, not because of who he is on the basketball court. I mean, not with the Mavericks, not because of who he is on the basketball court. If we're just talking hoop, we're just talking basketball, Luka's going to be in Dallas. It's deeper than that. If Jimmy was playing his heart out and being the guy that we know he is, a guy who can drop 20 and 8 every night, and the relationship off the court was good, we wouldn't be in this situation. It's easy to just look at the basketball aspect and say, well, why would they do that? And he should be doing this. Yeah, but there's work relationships that are real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I see it. I've bought too much in the conspiracy theory of what the Adelsons are doing. Like, I'm fully aboard. So I see
and
it
I'm
as like maybe
it.
It's not
I'm
even Nico's decision. I'm getting really messy, real tin hat with it. But it's just so hard for me to fathom, because I think in the NBA, more than almost any other sport, people put up with difficult personalities.
Yep.
Like, there are a lot of NBA stars whose GMs, whose coaches, whose owners even probably think like, God, I'd love to not work with this guy. But mm-hmm. they also know he's their best shot to win. So yeah. they just put up with anything. Yep. Like, rules for me, not for thee, or whatever, is or rules for thee, not for me, is probably something that applies to many NBA locker rooms.
For sure.
But I digress.
Every locker room has that situation.
Everyone. Yep. Next up, a Belgian equestrian was determined to have inadvertently tested positive for a banned substance. This after he administered eye drops to his dog ahead of a competition. So his Paris Olympic results have been disqualified. The Belgian team results were still there. They finished fifth, so they're not going to be disqualified because he bore no fault. So the ITA says, okay, we're just going to take away your individual results. Still, for administering eye drops to his dog.
Man, my dog Lulu is blind in one of her eyes.
Lulu.
And my son does it most of the time, but we have to put drops mm-hmm. in her eye and stuff, and it's just part of taking care of your pet. Like, if you know the situation, shouldn't there be some type of forgiveness there? Like, come on, man. This is pets are like family to people, and you're going to tell my man he can't put eye drops in his dog's eye anymore?
I find it weird that there's absolutely no workaround of like, oh, we can recognize based on the science we have to pick up
yes.
this molecule on your skin.
Right.
We can recognize that this was administered within the last hour. Clearly, you have your dog here. We're kind of buying it. The same ESPN column looked at a couple other weird instances of athletes being banned for, having tested positive for banned substances. One was a Russian figure skater, Kamila Valieva, who accidentally switched her medication with her grandfather's heart medication. There was another one, and she was stripped of a gold medal. There was another one of Jannik Sinner, the tennis world number one, who tested positive when a member of his support team applied over-the-counter spray to treat a wound. Just like weird things where it's
come
like,
on.
Really, we're going to be that strict about
we
it?
We have to be
I get
able,
it,
like
but
you said, there has to be a dosage that you could see, all right, this wasn't done on purpose. It's clearly an accident. And then if the stories lines up, I'm sure you can look at the medication that you have for your dog, your pet, or whatever, and line it up and be like, okay, this makes sense. This would be logical.
I know. Luke Arkins joining us at noon, taking a look at some Super Bowl prop bets. Before we get to it, it's all coming your way next.
GEICO's motorcycle expertise gives me the coverage I need, like 24/7 claims. I'm on cloud 9.
Disclaimer, clouds are wholly unable to support the weight of an adult human.
What's happening?
Furthermore, clouds are not numbered. Even if you procured a jetpack and searched, you'd find no cloud numbered 9. However, at that altitude, you'd likely befriend a flock of migrating snow geese.
Geese?
Who'd encourage you to leave your 24/7 GEICO motorcycle claims insurance behind, as they would take you in and even share their dinner of crickets and clovers with you.
Ew.
GEICO assumes no liability for any indigestion that may occur from a clover cricket dinner. GEICO, expertise for your motorcycle.
Buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil and get a $15 gift card after rebate, plus 2 times points at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you're running the hurry up and don't have time for your favorite Seattle sports shows, listen to the podcast on demand.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
Who would have thought?
Every hour, every interview, every look behind the scenes.
He is your new Seahawks head coach, Mike McDonald.
We want to play a certain way, and you're just going to chisel away at it every day.
Find us on SeattleSports.com, the Seattle Sports app, or wherever you get podcasts.
All signs continue to point to it being the right hire.
Never miss a minute of Seattle sports, the home of the Seahawks.
From the Quantum Fiber Studio, you're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Weekdays 10 to 2.
On Seattle Sports and 97.3 FM HD2.
All right, Luke Arkins is going to join us in less than 15 minutes. Jerry DePoto said the Mariners offense didn't get the credit that it deserves. So we're going to ask Luke about the stats that he found when he looked back at, well, what did they do well? What did they struggle with? Where is credit deserved? And where is Jerry DePoto missing the mark on this one. So we're going to ask Luke, who joins us again in less than 15 minutes right now. Just a fun segment looking at a few Super Bowl prop bets. I aggregated these together, so it's not one source per se. I kind of looked at averages from a couple. So we're going to guess the over-under, maybe sometimes guess whether or not we'll even see it. And we're going to end up, as part of these, kind of telling the story of what we think this game will be. So let's go ahead and dive into it so you know what it sounds like. Jalen Hurts for the Eagles, bump over under 9 carries.
Over under 9 carries. We know that he is partly the reason why Saquon Barkley has had the year that he's had. I know he big ups that offensive line, but Jalen Hurts being a threat in the run game holds people responsible. So it was over what? How many?
9
carries.
9 carries.
All right, so against Washington in the playoffs, he had 10 carries. Against the Rams, he had 7. And then against the Green Bay Packers, he had 6. I see a trend. So it went from 6 to 7 to 10, which tells me that they're going to come out and try to establish the run early and use Jalen Hurts in those legs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say we're going over. We're going over.
What a big game for Jalen if that happens.
Yeah, 10 last game.
Yeah, in a phenomenal, I mean, what, 3 rushing touchdowns, could have had 4. I'm going to combine it. I think you could be right, but I'm going to stick with the Eagles run game. Saquon over under 150 rushing, obviously.
Just rushing
yards, okay. 150.
All right, 150. This Chiefs defense, I saw this stat earlier today. Last 18 playoff games have allowed either 0 or 1 ball carrier over 100 yards rushing.
Wait, what?
In the last 18 playoff games, all right? 0 or 1 ball carrier over 100 yards rushing. But you know who they haven't seen? Saquon Barkley in this offensive line. And Saquon Barkley has had 7 carries over 60 yards, which is the most in a season. 7 plays from scrimmage over 60 yards, which is the most in NFL history, right above Jerry Rice. I say all of that to say he ain't going for $150 against the Chiefs, though. I think he goes around 110 to 120. He has his explosive plays, but this is going to be tough in the trenches.
Okay, so you may have inadvertently led to or certainly answered the next question. So Saquon Barkley is leading sports books as the number one bet for an anytime touchdown. No surprise. Obviously, he's like central to the Eagles offense. He's had a great postseason, obviously had a phenomenal regular season. After him is Jalen Hurts, but this is where I'm going to go with it. Travis Kelce scores the first touchdown of the game.
Travis Kelce.
Taking that bet? Not an over-under, but are you taking that?
So Travis Kelce, we know that he's the most important part of this offense. If we're not talking about Pat Mahomes and that offensive line, right? Travis Kelce is the headliner. And throughout these playoffs, Travis Kelce has turned it up just a notch. Mm-hmm. He's turned it up a bit. And he has a knack. He doesn't even run routes. He runs get open is what he runs. Travis calls a play. Pat calls a play. He looks at Travis and just says, hey, man, just get open. In the AFC Championship game, he did not have a touchdown, but against Houston, he did have a touchdown. He only had 4 targets for 2 receptions. I think that they get this man the ball, but he does not score the first touchdown. It is going to be a running touchdown by Pat Mahomes.
Ooh, I like that one. Okay. Over-under on total points, right now, the most popular one from a number of sports books is just under 50, 49. Over-under 49. Standard, you know, not quite super high scoring, but like a really solid game by both. I mean, these are 2 really good defenses, though. I wonder if I'm taking the under there.
I'm taking the under for sure. I think that it's not going to be the game that we saw a few years ago. Was it 38 to 35 or something
like
that?
High scoring.
Jalen threw for 300. Pat Mahomes threw for 2 or 3 touchdowns. I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see a different game. If you look at the Chiefs this year, they haven't been a really explosive offense. They've been good, but not an explosive offense. Like you mentioned yesterday, they've been good on third downs, third or fourth in the league when it comes to that. And the Eagles, we know they're going to be run first. And I think the Eagles will be stubborn with the run, too. I think you want to limit the mistakes that Jalen Hurts can make, but you also want to make this a physical type of game. I think that's what they want to play. So, no, I'm going under. It's going to be like 21 to 20.
I liked this one. Who gets shown more, Taylor Swift or Jason Kelce?
It's a good one because Jason Kelce, this is during the game, though, because
during
I'm sure he's going to do pregame.
During the game. Yeah, he's going to be in that booth.
Yeah, he'll be in the booth. I think we're going to go. I'm still going Taylor. Because I feel like if Travis Kelce wins this ball game, he's going to get on a knee and propose to her.
No.
It's going down.
No. That was my next one.
It's
going down.
Kept their relationship a little bit under lock and key.
That doesn't mean he don't love her. He don't want to get on that knee.
I think he loves her very deeply.
But
I think that they have a beautiful relationship.
Affection like that seems a little bit.
Did you see them last game?
No.
They were damn tonguing it down on the football field.
But I think her level of fame is more understated. Like high level fame are like, we want everything hidden. And we know that if we hide more, you're going to want more from us.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I feel like Kim Kardashian tapped into that. Like, why don't we instead just not do a lot of interviews and not do a lot of public things?
Hey, get on that knee, dog.
Well, I mean, if he just does it, what you gonna say? No. Maybe he just
here,
proposes.
Just wait. And just wait.
Does what we all hope happens. Kendrick opens with "They Not Like Us."
Nah, he's gonna save that for the last.
I think so too.
Save it for last.
What's he open with?
He's gonna open up with.
What's the music video you showed me? That's what I think he opens with.
That was "Squabble Up."
Yes.
"Squabble Up." I can see that. I think. He opens up. I can see "Squabble Up." I think he opens up with some old Kendrick, like 4 or 5 years ago.
The lights are dimmed, and it goes, I got, and then dark.
Ooh.
Yeah. Loyalty inside my DM.
I like that.
If that ends up happening, we got to go back. Like, what if that's exactly, what if you just called it right now, including production value and like sound choices and like music and editing? That's really impressive, Curtis.
Thank you.
Last one, just pick your winner. Super easy, right?
It's not. Because I think the Eagles can get this done, but it's the Mahomes magic that scares me.
I know.
And I'm going for the three-peat. Chiefs are going to win this thing.
I think so, too. And I want to come up with, like, some really good reason outside of, oh, well, you know, they're a really good team. They're really complete. They're really good on third down, you know, great defensively. But you can say all those things about the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason for me to go against the Eagles other than I can't bet against the Chiefs. I've been proven wrong too many times. I mean, I bet against them in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And I learned my lesson. So...
it's destiny.
It's just, it really does feel that way, doesn't it? Coming up next, Jerry DePoto and the Mariners offense. Jerry DePoto said the Mariners offense doesn't get the credit it deserves and has actually been pretty stable over the last 3 years. But is he right? We're on a fact-finding mission. Luke Arkins joins us with some numbers next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Choose Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil to provide maximum performance and protection for your engine. Get a $15 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge for $34.95. Plus 2x O Rewards points. Offer valid in-store and online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.